Now the skating coach for the Edmonton Oilers, Dave Pelche, joins us. Mr. Pelche, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I told Major to play something French, but I guess he forgot his iPod at home.
I don't know if he has a lot of French songs, but you know what? He'll make sure we have one next time. I like
Thank
it.
You.
I like to mix it up a little bit.
Good.
Now, Dave, Jason Stredwick, who you know quite well, had talked about, you know, he joked that how at his own hockey school you were embarrassing him one-on-one, lighting him up, and he was getting rattled. But he also said that, man, if Pelche would have taught me how to skate earlier, I'd have been a way better skater. So you're now hired by the Edmonton Oilers. What's the key? You've worked with a lot of kids. What's the key to improving, you know, professional hockey player skating ability?
Oh, I think, well, fundamentally, I think at the start, it's got to come from their own desire to, you know, to improve, to be hungry. The best part about the job description that I have is I work closely with Rick Carrier on the player's development side. And not to say that, obviously, anybody that plays in the NHL are professional and want to be the best they can be, but I feel there's an hunger there on, you know, the Oklahoma City, the Bakersfield, the guys are just knocking at the door. And so, yeah, there has got to be a desire from the player to change or to improve. And then from there, it's to actually identify, you know, their lack of their limitation by talking to them. The higher you go up in the level of sport, the more specific, you know, the needs are. And so to say that, yes, I can run a practice with 10 years old, kids and have one drill to go for the entire team, I do believe that when it comes to, you know, this level of performance of sport, you got to be specific with guys because, you know, what this guy needs might be totally different from another guy. Does that make sense?
Totally.
Sure it does. David, I've seen you wheel around the rink, you know, down by Twin Brooks, you'd skate with the players sometimes. And I know you're a pretty good skater in terms of a hockey player, and everybody's obviously seen you on figure skates. But now you make the jump to a different discipline. Professional players, say a guy's 25 who's been in the NHL, you know, 5-6 years, and you take a look at him and think, well, this could improve or that can improve. How do you approach that with a guy who's an established pro, just to tweak here and there when he's been skating one way all his life?
I think they know. I think that if you're professional, if you're in tune with your needs or where, you know, keep in mind, a lot of these guys, what I figured is that they've all their life, they've been labeled, you know, a bad shot or a bad skater or low hockey IQ. And they might be right. They also might be wrong. You know, many times that we were guys, the first question I asked them is, okay, so what's your label on as far as skating? What do you feel that, you know, you've been told all your life? And as most guys will say, well, I need to be more explosive. Well, what does that mean? You know, you mean you're explosive in a straight line. You need to be more agile because you got to break it down to what exactly they need. And a lot of hockey is played, you know, in close space. A lot of my sport was very programmed. I knew that, you know, at this time I was going to go by this circle and change direction. In hockey, you got to be able to react, and sometimes you get to dictate how you want the play to go. But most of the time, you got to react, and so it's to have all these tools in your belt to go, well, if I need to go left, I know how to do it as fast as I can because I don't want to get burned on that side or whatever. So it's something else. I don't see myself going to the players and say, well, yeah, maybe, unless they ask, obviously, yes, maybe you need a little bit of that. There is, from my experience in the last 3 years, I've been working with hockey players, lacks in balance, in edge control, because these guys are just so big and powerful. And the edge control comes from the upper body. And the upper body being so far away from the eyes and guys being so wide, obviously it doesn't need to be a rocket science that, you know, edge control is a big challenge for them. So, yes, I can help them with that. And but the desire to change, I always comes back to that. The desire for the players to change is key to making anybody at this level a better skater.
David Pelche joins us, the new skating coach for the Edmonton Oilers. Dave, you just mentioned how edge control, a lot of it actually comes from the upper body, which I'm sure a lot of people are like, huh? How does that work? It's on your feet. Talk about, you know, specifically improving edges for players and how they do it with their upper body.
Well, I think wherever the upper body goes, the feet will go. And everything needs to be initiated from the upper body. And that's the misconception, is everything happens with your feet. Your feet will respond to what the upper body is doing. If you're looking one way, you're driving your bicycle, and you know what? You're driving by a ditch, and you're looking to the ditch, most likely the bike will end up there, right? It's the same when you're driving. You don't want to look right in front of your car. You want to look at the end of the curve, and the car will get there. So your eyes always have to be a little bit ahead of where you want to be. And so everything starts from the top, and if you want the bottom to follow. Does that, again, does that make sense to you guys? It's easier if I'd be on the ice and show you, but I got to be able to break it down for you, Jason. I've seen you skate. You
know? Yeah, it's not great.
Free lesson. Oh, was it your shot that was sad or your
shot? No, my shot was outstanding. I just, you know, once I got to the area that I needed to be, it was great. But the problem was getting to the area. You know? but also, when I played against you, you were always goal sucking, so you didn't really see my strength, which was really in the defensive zone.
Well, I didn't see your strength because I was always by you in about a second.
Yeah, you don't have eyes in the back of your head, David.
No.
Hey, look, it's I love this idea of somebody who was such a good skater in his profession making this switch over. I'll draw a comparison, not necessarily a good one. When I watch instructors today, and I'm talking about kids now, teach golf, there's a lot of what I'd call here's the most efficient, best golf swing. It's almost a cookie cutter thing. A lot of people teach the same thing. When you get a professional hockey player, they have different gaits, different strides. Are you trying to ease them towards a more efficient, more powerful, quicker sort of stride, or do you work with what they do naturally and just tweak it a little bit?
At this level, it's an excellent question. At this level, you need to work with what you have. I've seen many times you took golf as an analogy. I'll use figure skating. I've seen great coaching one element always the same way, disregarding the type of body type you're dealing with and the personality. And, you know, you're working with high-performance athletes who are different height, different weight, who have been skating or thought a different way. Do I believe that I can take someone who's, you know, 25 years old in the NHL and change and revamp his stride? Absolutely not. It would be a waste of time. He's there for a reason. He obviously knows what to do. I think at the higher level, the changes comes with little change, little ingredients. You have to look at what you have and then get the most of them. And yes, efficiency is huge. It's one thing to be fast. Now, if I can help someone to be fast at the end of a game because he's been more efficient, you know, it's no secret. We all want to get more for less, right? And a guy that works super hard to get from A to B in 5 seconds, why work so hard if you being efficient gets you there at the same amount of time without the effort? And so you can be efficient longer during a game. That is obviously one aspect that you can help the players with, but it's an excellent point. You have to, I believe, work with what you have and do tweaks. To revamp someone at this level, you got in any sport anyway, at high level, at low level, if you want to get excellence, it's about repetition. But repetition of good biomechanical movement, not bad ones, because you can repeat the bad thing all the time, right? My golf game is one example. But if you're repeating the right amount of time, slow it down, break it down, re-glue it together, and then, you know, you'll get results.
Dave Pelche joins us, skating coach for the Edmonton Oilers. I know you're working with Rick Carrier, of course. Steve Cerdak is a skills coach as well. And, you know, skills and skating, Dave, are so closely united. How much will you work with Steve? Do you guys come up with a set package for, you know, like Jordan Eberle's wants to work on this, where Taylor Hall wants to work on this, and then, conversely, young guys like Greg Chase or Mitch Moraz, we got to do these certain things. So do you combine certain skating things they want to work with the type of player that they are?
That's an excellent question. I'm looking forward to speaking with Steve. He's been with the Oilers for many years. He knows the players inside out. And as long as you got a communication going, within a team, you get results faster. you know, and it's not about who takes the credit. It's let's talk about this. Let's sit down. Let's see how we can help a player and get the result as fast as we can, you know. And we all want the same thing. We all want to help. We all want to be successful as a team. And I'm looking forward to talking to him.
David, this is going to be interesting times for you. What's your, I guess, how quickly will you get into this? How long do you watch as the players report physicals first and then camp on Friday? You got a great mix of athletes. You got a little Russian named Vladimir Kachev, who's, you know, 141 pounds. You got another Russian, Bohdan Yakimov, who's 240 pounds. How long do you watch, or do you get on the ice with these guys right away and start seeing what needs to be done?
Well, I you know, through obviously one-on-ones and players getting in touch with me personally, been, you know, on the ice with a lot of these guys since the beginning, you know, since the beginning of May. A lot of players come in, they know I'm available, they give me a call and, you know, they tell me, hey, I hear you can help me. So I've seen a lot of these guys. I felt like my job for the last 2 or 3 months is to get them skating ready for the camp. As far as now my involvement is concerned, obviously I always report to Rick. He's, you know, I'm looking forward to see the fruit of our labor that, you know, we put in this summer to see, you know, where these guys I've worked with all summer look in the main camp. Now my involvement with the, you know, the main guys, that's up to the discretion of the coaching staff. I know I'm available, they know I'm available, and so, you know, I'm there, I'm ready to go. You know, if there's a spot on the fourth line, I'll jump in, for God's sake.
I don't think so.
For minimum salary too, I'm cheap.
Minimum salary. Can you crash and bang, though? Could you be an energy guy?
I can't crash, but I won't be crashed either. They won't be able to catch me. Just don't give me the puck.
You know what? It's funny, Dave, because I've played with a lot of ex-NHL guys who have played in different charity events, and all of them, the first thing they say is, man, Pelche's edges are ridiculous. How you, the things you're able to do in hockey skates, no less, from a figure skater, like it's the edges and how you sharpen the blades are so opposite for a lot of people they don't really know. But, you know, for you to transfer that onto the ice, I'm guessing for a lot of players, because you can show it and likely do it better than a lot of them, that gives you instant respect in the eyes of a lot of these guys, and maybe they pay more attention to what you have to say.
Without the puck, I can. I have no problem saying that. You know, if you give me a puck, that's a challenge. But I also, you know, taught myself at a certain level that, you know, I can show them to do it with a puck where, you know, obviously, whether it's a preconceived idea that, well, first of all, you know, as soon as you hear of a male figure skater, whether you're stereotypes or maybe you have no prejudgment, but I grew up being ridiculed because I was a male figure skater. But, you know, ask anybody that's tried figure skating and it's instant respect. It's an extremely tough sport. So I believe that I'm not saying I'm better than them, but I believe that I can bring something. And, you know, speed is something that never goes into a slump, right? Maybe your scoring touch will go into a slump, but speed comes from, you know, confidence in your blade, being aware that, you know, you can actually move in a way that you didn't know even existed. Right, there's full of possibilities out there on hockey skates that I need to feel. I feel like I need to expose these guys at, and then from there, they can take it on and apply it to, you know, their game, a game situation, and that's so a learning curve that I got lucky enough to be involved with a company here in town, and I have to give credit where credit is due, and you know, my involvement with Quantum Speed in the last 2 or 3 years have been beneficial to me. Yes, I've been on the ice for 35 years, up to 2 hours a day. I know what I'm doing, but this is a different culture. This is, the sport of hockey. Every sport's got their own culture, and how to communicate my message and how to apply it to a game situation. I mean, I've learned part of my craft through Quantum Speed, so I'm thankful for the work that and, you know, what they've taught me. So having said that, speed comes from confidence. If you're confident, you're going to be fast, and I believe speed really never goes into a slump. So if your scoring touch goes, you can always be fast. You know, there's no excuse.
One last one for you, Dave. The spinorama has been outlawed now in the shootout, but you were talking about the fancy footwork. Any jumps you could maybe teach Eberle or some of those other guys to incorporate to catch the goalies off guard in the shootout?
Maybe not, but I will say keep your eyes open for different cellies this year.
Oh, different cellies.
We'll start there.
Okay, you know, nice.
You throw yourself once you score. Don't do it before.
Okay. I like it. I'm a huge fan of cellies, so I'll be waiting for it. Dave, congratulations on the new gig. We'll talk again soon. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jason.